as he brings your word, that which you have laid in his heart to share this morning. And I pray for the power of your word to come and touch, change hearts and minds this morning and transform lives, Lord, so that when we go out of that door, that you will be glorified, Lord. In your precious name we pray that. Amen.
Dankie, Donnie. Donnie, ek hardloop vanmiddag. So you said you're not sure when I'm running again. Sorry. All right, okay. So whoever wants to join me, where's Carl? Carl? Is Carl here? All right, yeah. All right. So I'm running this evening. So I'm just checking if everyone that's accountable to me is actually here. That's good. That's good. All right, except Carl. I don't know where he is. But. All right. So, Musa, where are you? Yes. Musa asked me to preach in Afrikaans today. So, ons praat oor gasvryheid vandag. Yeah. Yeah. So, before you get worried, I'm not talking about flatulence or any gases or anything like that. Right. We are talking about hospitality. And just for the visitor's sake, we've been talking about hospitality for the last 2 weeks. So the first week, Roland shared on what is hospitality. Patty shared last week about why we do hospitality. And today I'll be doing a little bit of recap, a little bit of add-ons, and share about how we do hospitality. All right. I don't know about you guys, but I've been really blessed the last couple of weeks. As I was prepping, I realized that actually it's a bigger topic than I thought. Patty shared the other day that it's not just for certain people. It's not that you will have the gift and that's only for them and it's only for certain leaders, but it's actually for all of us. And I realized that, you know what's at the core, the very core of hospitality? It's love for these people. It's love for your neighbor. And Matthew 22:37, the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to catch Jesus out, and they asked him, well, what is the greatest commandment? And this is after a series of questions, and every time he answers them out of wisdom, and they're debaffled, so they don't know what to say. And they thought they're going to catch him with this, and they asked him, well, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, now, to love the Father with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And second to that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I realized that as we're talking about hospitality, you cannot do it if you don't love your neighbor. You cannot do it if you don't love yourself, if you don't appreciate what God has done in your life, because it's an opportunity for evangelism. It's an opportunity to the light that is in you to let it shine. Because doesn't matter where you are in your life, the fact that you are saved means that you have something to bring. And we are so appreciative and thankful for what God has done in our life, that he's taken us out of darkness into light, and that is forever a testimony. And it's actually a wonderful opportunity that if we host people, if we invite people over, if we chat to people at the coffee station at work, that it's actually a moment of testimony. And it's an opportunity to share. And why would we not want to take hold of that opportunity? And when we host, it's just yet another opportunity to do that. It's not always to say that the person you are hosting will be saved. You know, they might come for a conference, but it doesn't mean that they are saved. It means that it might mean that they need to see something, maybe in your life. Maybe you need to see something in their life for you to be unlocked, for them to be unlocked. So it's a wonderful opportunity. So when we speak about hospitality, we're not just talking about hosting people, but we're talking about having suppers and lunches with one another, having coffees and teas with one another. We're talking about babysitting, you know. We're talking about hospital ministry. We talk about pantry fund. We're talking about babysitting. Have I mentioned babysitting? Right, so. And it's a balance really that we strike. Yeah, and we'll be talking a little bit about practicalities around that. Is that all right? Okay. Father, Lord, I pray that as we hear what you want to say, that there will really be an unlocking. And I pray for an unlocking in our hearts right now. Right now, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for a release, Lord, that we can just focus, Lord, on what it is you want to say. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So Roland shared about what is hospitality. And he said that it's something that we do for Jesus. He said it's a physical act. It's something that we actually do. And we do it for the least. So what do we mean by that? Well, Matthew 25, Jesus said something quite interesting. He says, well, I was naked, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was a stranger, I was in prison. But yet you saw to all my needs when I was in that position. And the disciples said, hey, but Jesus, we can't remember, we can't recall that you were in all those positions. And he said, well, you know what? When you do it to the least of them, you do it to me. So when we testify to someone, when we talk to God about someone, when we shine a light, you know who we're doing, what we're doing. We're loving Jesus. We're loving him. And we're honoring him. And because we're honoring him and we're loving him, we love people. So we actually love. When I love Tracy, I honor God and I love him. And when we relate to one another, when we have one another over in our homes, and we share and we break bread and we pray together, we actually just, it's a testimony of our love for God that we're just showing and we're just walking in a light. Patty shared last week very beautifully, and she shared about the wise. She said that if we invite him in, then we see God. She secondly shared that we do it out of obedience. And thirdly, that there's a reward whenever we are hospitable or when we open our lives and our hearts. Can you remember the three R's that Patty shared? Anyone? The three R's. Reuse, reduce, recycle. No, not that one. No. There was something about a relationship that Patty shared about. Something about retribution. It was something about reward, if you remember. All right. And Patty shared also a story, a very interesting story about Abram and Sarah and how they entertained three guests. And the guests were three angels. And had they not entertained the three guests, maybe they would have been robbed of a blessing. So I don't know if they still would have had Isaac if they did not let the visitors in. I think that's open for interpretation. But the bottom line is they would have been confused. Let's put it that way. They would have been unclear. They would have been. They would not have understood. And very often, God will use people to bring things and clarify things, come alongside us, which will then align with God's word and where we're at. So, as Patty was sharing it, I was thinking of other examples. Elijah, 1 Kings 17 is another example. After staying in a brook and God making use of ravens to feed him, there was a drought in the land. He actually went to a widow, and God said to the widow to look after Elijah. And what happened was Elijah asked her to make some bread, and she said, "But I don't have any oil. I can't make anything for you." And then Elijah said to her, "But you know, God will not let the oil run out up until the rains come again." And it actually came to be. And she opened her house to Elijah, and there was obviously a relationship there. And later on, we see that her son passed away, and Elijah raised him from the dead. So she was a recipient of hosting Elijah. And then we fast forward a little bit, and we see in 2 Kings 4, there's a story of Elisha. And Elisha and a Shunammite woman, she prepared a place for him, Back in those days, it was on the roofs, and she put walls around the roof, it said, and there was a bed, and there was a chair, so very, very practical. And whenever Elisha was in town, he would actually stay at the Shunammite woman. And and one day, Elisha said, "But what can I do for you? You're so kind and helpful to me." She said, "Well, you know what, I'm without son, and I'm barren, I can't fall pregnant." And he said, in a year's time, you will be pregnant. And she said, please don't say it if you don't mean it, because it's really a treasure of my heart. It's very close to me. And he said, no, but you will. And then we fast forward, and then the son was older, and he was in the field. He had a headache, and he died. And she said, well, did you just come and bring a curse to me that you stay and make and bring something of a heart's desire to me and then take it away? What is happening here? And then Elisha prayed for the boy, and he got saved. Now, why is this recorded in the Bible? I believe it's recorded because people took note. The stories went around, and God was exalted in the process. But it happened through daily lives. It happened through spending time in one another's homes. It didn't happen in a church on a pulpit, but it happened in real life where you're at work. And I believe that's where the testimony lies. Another example is Lazarus. Lazarus was a recipient of Jesus staying in Bethany. And Jesus was very close to Lazarus, just like he was to Martha and Mary, Simon a leper. And he was very, very emotional when Martha and Mary brought the news that Lazarus has been dead for quite some time. And Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. And Bethany hosted Jesus. Jesus stayed in Bethany quite a lot. So that's another example. Jesus himself was a recipient of being hosted. In the last week before he was crucified, he stayed in Bethany. And I believe that there was a special time for him because he knew what was lying ahead. Then we had the example, it was already shared, of Rahab in Jericho. And I was just thinking, you know what, this is Jericho right now. We are living in Jericho. It is a fallen world. We're not from this world, but we are in this world. And this is kind of a Jericho, and we are living in the Jericho wall. And we are to invite people into our house from a salvation point of view, from a hope point of view, from a salvation point of view. Because I think God wants to give us hope this morning. I think he wants to say, you know what, there's more, there's growth, there's opportunity for maturity, not only in Brackenfell, not only individually, but for Josh Jean as well. And I think this is one of the areas, one of the mirrors that we can hold up in front of us and say, but how is my heart in terms of this? And we're going to be looking at some practicalities just now. Romans 12, it's out of the Amplified. We're not going to put it up because I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people, and pursuing the practice of hospitality. And it's actually quite encouraging that it's speaking about the practice of hospitality. We learned a lot over the years. I remember the one year we were cleaning the whole, I mean, we cleaned every nook and cranny. I even cleaned the garage. I mean, the guests were never going to come close to the garage, but I just cleaned the garage. And we were like exhausted. And eventually the people arrived on Saturday afternoon. And lo and behold, the very first thing, the lady stumbled over our steps in the garden in the driveway, and she just kind of rolled into our house in a way. Yeah. Then clean steps. I helped her up. I'm so sorry, but look at a nice garden. I mean, And I just realized, you know, we're focusing on the wrong stuff. And it kind of just shifted me from actually, you know, what is it about. But obviously, you want to make some effort. But you also want to realize that it's about the time together. Martha and Mary is a good example. Martha wanted to to work and do things. But actually Jesus said, hey, while I'm with you, I want to spend time with you. I think that's the most important thing when we have people over or when we're hosting, actually to give your undivided attention to that person. To have fun, to enjoy one another, to watch the rugby. What happened to the rugby yesterday anyway? Oh, okay. To watch the rugby, to do life together. But in that there's seriousness as well and sensitivity as well. And that picking up of what God wants to do, and actually just to go with that. But you shared last week about it's not what you have, but it's your heart. It's your heart. And I picked up on that, and I realized, you know what, we have so much to give. So much to give. If we save, then it's like walking in a field and you're discovering a prize, and you go and sell everything that you have to go and get that. And we are so rich in God. And sometimes we forget, actually, it's not a performance thing. It's absolutely just you are the present to someone else, serving someone else, just to spend time with someone. Is that good? It absolutely flies in the face of the world and selfishness. Just to say, hey, just come and spend time, you know, with me. And you can be balanced about it. You can, for example, every Tuesday and Thursday, we've kept open just to see people. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, we are open. And Mondays and Fridays, we've kept for family. And Fridays, we've kept open for whatever, the baptisms or the ad hoc invite or someone offering to babysit over a weekend on a Sunday afternoon. Have I mentioned babysitting? No. Thank you. There's something called date nights. We haven't done that in a while. Hebrews 13, verse 2. You can bring that up. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And again, I come back to the point of earlier that we do it for Jesus. The Amplified says, do not neglect to extend hospitality to strangers. It means that we can forget to do it. And it's actually something that we must keep up. The Romans 12 scripture we shared earlier that says we must practice hospitality. It means that we must keep at it. We must keep at it. It's an ongoing thing if you look at the Greek there. I'm an introvert by nature. So therefore, I need to be wise with my time and how I divide my plans and schedules. And we've made it very, very practical that we've shared some calendars between Tracy and I. And today is a little bit more practical. And one of the things that we've done is we booked out family time on our calendar. So when Ashley would come to me and say he wants to spend some time together, I'll look at the calendar and I'll see, okay, you know what, we've actually booked out some family time here, or we booked this out. Whatever, and then I don't have to even consult with Tracy, because we've ahead of time we've actually already said when is the family times, when is the important times. So you need to be wise with that. So I cannot use being an introvert as an excuse, because I know that what God wants to do through me and in me may be a blessing to others, and others being a blessing to me, that I will rob other people from that, and I can't hide behind the fact that I'm an introvert. Being shy, for example, Russell mentioned, Russell is one of the lead elders in the other congregations, and he said that being shy is actually sin, because the Bible refers to a confidence that we have in Christ, a confidence, and that confidence goes directly here on against being shy. And if we hide behind being shy, then it's actually sin. Please hear what I'm saying. But it is something that I believe God is taking us into. And maybe I am challenging all of us this morning. and I'm challenging myself in the process, and as I've been preparing, am I not sometimes hiding? And this is a heart issue, but sometimes heart issues can keep us from moving into the more. Am I not sometimes using that as an excuse? House pride can be another thing. Everything must be perfect. If it can't be perfect, then I don't want anyone in my house. And you know what? The houses that I've actually enjoyed the most is actually just where life happens. You know, where the dog just did his thing there, or the cat, or things happen, or, you know. I mean, that's life. That's life. You can't plan it, you know. So if house pride is maybe an issue, maybe weigh it up before God. And actually, just while I'm talking, just actually repent of it. Yes, Lord, actually, you know what? That is a problem for me. Privacy might be a thing. You know, an Englishman will say his house is a castle. Maybe we need to learn to not departmentalize our life. Like, I've got church here, but, you know, just don't touch my private space. This is my home. This is my place. Maybe God is challenging us on that area as well. Shame. Maybe your husband does not mow the lawn or something like that, and you don't want other people to see. Tracy gets very embarrassed because our one dog is quite fat. So, yeah, it's a true story. True story. So maybe there's shame, you know. So maybe if you have not been invited, she doesn't want you to see the dog because it's a reflection on her, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to have to come and see the dog, right? His name is Lemmy. He's a whippet. He's supposed to be a fast-running dog. Yeah. Yeah. Tracy wants me to go and run with the dogs. Yeah. It's sometimes quite intimidating to invite people over that you know is actually like good chefs or cooks. There's a guy in Durbanville AM. He's like a co-founder of Kauai, and he's a health freak, basically. And whenever you need to cook for him, you always feel like, well, what are we going to make for him? And you catch yourself in a place where you think like that, but actually it's not about that. It's just about loving other people. I mean, think about the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, just loving those in need. People that you maybe normally would not have spent time with, just to spend time with them. Maybe you had bad past experience, you know. You might want to actually get over it and maybe ask God to change your heart in it. Fear. Maybe you're fearful for your children's safety or whatever the case is. So when Josh Jen asks you to host someone, it will always be carefully worked out in terms of couples. So for example, if you are a single guy, we won't ask a single lady to come and stay with you, or vice versa. And usually they will ask, well, what is your preference? Would you like to have a young family with children? Or they will usually take that into consideration as well. And they won't place someone with you if there were a question mark over them. But maybe fear is a worry for you or concern for you. Then that might be an issue of the heart, and God actually wants to access that wound this morning. So yes, we are talking about hospitality, gastvrijheid, but we're also talking about other things because it affects our comfort, it affects our security, and affects our house. To fix our castle, and actually God wants to be, he wants to be number one. He wants to be the highest priority in our house. Perhaps you referred to Bethany as well last week. And I couldn't help but to ask myself, is our house a Bethany? to other people. Is it a safe haven to other people? Bethany was a safe haven to Jesus. You would find that he often went there. And I looked at the difference between Jerusalem and Bethany. Bethany, Jesus stayed, Martha and Mary stayed there, Simon and leper stayed there, Lazarus stayed there. And it's called the place of dates, Bethany, and Bethpage, which is just next to Bethany, is the place of figs. And it's in the Mount of Olives district, the district, very, very close to Jerusalem. And often Jesus would go and escape the crowds, and he will actually go and pray and live and stay in Bethany. And Jerusalem, if you were to liken it to maybe a personal outlook of your life, I think was a little religious. That's where the Pharisees and the scribes were. That's where the temple were. The one day they would lay palm leaves in front of Jesus and worship him. The next day they would want to crucify him. I would rather sooner want to be a Bethany than a Jerusalem. And I ask myself the question, but when people spend time with me, are they feeling refreshed, rejuvenated, encouraged? Have they seen something, maybe tasted something of God? Have I given them a slight hope in the right direction? And that is one of the things of Bethany, I feel, that challenged me. Jesus, also we see in Bethany that he was lavished with anointing oil, if you remember that story. He was being served, he had meals made for him there, and there was a fragrance in the house. And later we're going to be worshiping, and one of the songs is about an incense. And as we sing that song, I want us to ask ourselves the question, but is there an incense that I give off, that my heart gives off, that is pleasing to God? My house, is there fragrance in the incense that I actually leave? Do people feel welcome? If they don't, then maybe just ask yourself, well, why is it? And what is it actually that you want and to achieve that? In the house of Bethany, everything revolved around Jesus. Everything. So should us. So should our hearts. So some practical points. When you meet for someone, as I said, it doesn't have to be all out. It can be for coffee. It could be for tea. So it doesn't have to affect your wallet. We try to involve the children as much as we can. So when we have people over, because remember, as parents, we are modeling to our children as well. And they need to see an example. So it's not a case of, okay, well, the grown-ups are here, go and do your own thing. There are moments where we say, okay, we're going to talk now. But as far as possible, we actually try to model and involve them in prayer, etc., where we can. We have this thing called a conversation jar. Yoandre, want to come up for me, please? Just choose anyone. Anyone, yeah. And then you can just read it.
What is your favorite Bible story and why?
It's a good question. Thank you, Yandre. You can sit down. So this is a conversation jar that we have. It was actually a fancy jar and it broke. And what we do is when we have people over, we actually use this to stimulate conversation. Because this is now immediately taking the focus to Bible. What is your favorite Bible story and why? And then there's other questions. For example, if you could meet anyone alive or dead, why? And, you know, who would that be? Who is your favorite Bible character? And this is an interesting way. If you don't know what to talk about, it will immediately just bring the attention and bring it in line. It's very, very practical. It's very practical, and there's loads of questions here. Yeah. So maybe another question here is, what is your biggest fear? usually over dinner table, spiders will come up, etc. But those who are brave will start to share maybe more intimately, and you can bring it more intimately, and you can draw it actually to a certain point. So it's a very, very practical way. So, so there's actually people from Durbanville AM that gave this to us. So I can ask her if she can make up a few. When you know you're having people over, try to communicate beforehand. Do they have any allergies, food allergies, animal allergies? You know, just try to get all of that out of the way. Practical, common things. Will they be needing transport? You know, especially if they're going to the conference, will they be needing transport, or just arrange all the practicalities ahead of time? Then everyone is relaxed, and everyone can know what to expect. Try and get a photo. If you are meeting someone, or maybe you're hosting someone you find out closer to the time where it is, you might want to really start to build a bridge with them and send them a photo, or you know, try and reach out for them, and maybe even pray for them ahead of time. Just some practicalities. Be welcome. You want to give your best chair. You want to open up your nicest coffee. You want to, you know, that the chocolate that's been the nice chocolate. You want to bring that out in the biltong. You want to bring the best biltong out. So just like Jesus was lavished and he was served, so we should do it because we love on Abraham, and we do it for him. If Jesus came to visit you, you would bring out the best biltong, won't you? Won't you? Yes. Yeah. Meal requirements. Talk about meal requirements. You might want to give up your bed and sleep on a couch. Something like that. For some guys here, that is nothing new. Language barriers. It could be that you might want to have interesting and fun ways, and you know, it might be someone from an African country that comes and stay with you. So you might want to bring along a friend that can help with translation a little bit. Or that could be a very, very practical point, and you want to be prepared for that. Wi-Fi password. You might want to just give the Wi-Fi password. You don't want them to ask you for it. You can just say up front, hey, here's the Wi-Fi password. Treat them as well. When you have people over, very often they treat it as a little breakaway, a little mini holiday as well. So you want to give that opportunity and space if someone stays with you. You want to offer to also take them somewhere, maybe after the conference or maybe an afternoon. Very often there's a gap in the afternoon. And if you happen to have leave, then maybe take them out to Rhodes Memorial or go and have a scone and a high tea. And then also stay in touch. Stay in touch with him. So the people that stayed with us last year gave me this Bible. And I wrote a little in front of this Bible. And I always think about them when I read it. And I pray for them. And we try to stay in touch because it's relationships that we are building. I've gone over my allotted time. I'm going to be coming in for landing. Can I ask the worship team to come up, please? Yeah. So we're going to be worshiping, and part of our worship this morning is to say, Father, if there's any idol in my heart, if privacy is an issue, if pride is an issue, if fear or shame is an issue, I want to just bring it before you. Search my heart, O Lord. Search my heart, and let me draw closer to you in these areas. Maybe I shared this morning what I shared about Bethany. Maybe you realize that, you know what, my heart, my life is not a Bethany. Jesus does not stay in my house. He doesn't stay in my heart. Maybe that was you. I would like to pray into that. And then once we've prayed into this, then we're going to be worshiping. And there's a song that we're going to sing about the incense night and day. And I think that is, maybe we can start with that one, if that's right. And that will be then a declaration, actually, of our lives, our homes, our time, just being devoted to Him. Can I ask you just to stand? First, I want to pray that for all the saved. So I want to ask if there's anyone, if you felt this morning that your heart is not a Bethany, Jesus does not stay in your heart. You will know that because all of this is very, very foreign to you. Or maybe you moved away from Him. Can I ask you just to raise your hand right now so I can see it? I would very much like to pray with you. You know that you're far from God. I don't have to sell this. I don't have to labor this point. I mean, you will know. Just respond to Him. Just be obedient to Him. You will know. I would love to pray for you. I don't want to let this moment go. Anyone? Right. Thank you, Father, that we can pray to you, Lord, as your sons and daughters. Lord, and respond to you this morning, Lord. As a father, Lord, we ask that you will just break our hearts with what breaks yours. Thank you, Lord, that our house, our hearts belong to you. And that you are the most important priority, Lord, in our lives. Thank you, Father, for making it so clear, Lord, that it is more than just hosting or having someone over, but it's actually about sharing our life, doing life together, just loving other people. Lord, I want to pray that if we struggle, Lord, with loving others, maybe trusting others, maybe even sometimes loving ourselves, we don't know exactly how that looks like. I ask that you will just come and change us if that is you. Lord, that we will just experience your love. And as we experience what is real, maybe we get reminded, Lord, just of your love as a father to us. Thank you that you accept us, Lord, that we're not rejected. Thank you, Father, that we can trust, Lord, other people, Lord. And maybe where we learned not to trust, maybe there was hurt. In your love, Lord, and in your grace, I pray that you will give us the ability to trust. Thank you, Father, for wisdom, Lord. Thank you for your guidance and spirit that leads us. As we worshiping now, Lord, we want to worship you, Lord, spirit and truth, and in unison as a body, Lord, just declare just the family that we are. Thank you, Father. Please come and join us as we worship in celebration. Welcome everyone to remember this is extension of the preach, and I believe God wants to move and continue.